Friends, these sermons last week, this week, and yes, again, next week, are on a theme that involves seeing the big picture of our faith. Now, sometimes we focus in on the details of what it is we profess together and how God blesses us and guides us. But the point of this series is to help us adjust our thinking to appreciate and endorse God's plan for the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. Now, we began last week with a slogan that's kind of popular in our culture: think global, act local. And it gets applied to a variety of things. And what I wished last week to point out was that that slogan, which doesn't come from within Christianity, is so well suited to a description of the Christian faith that I'm surprised I haven't read someone applying it in that way. Because we belong to a faith that had from the very outset the challenge of taking the good news to the whole world. Even when the community of faith consisted of a handful of people, their challenge was to take the good news to the world. Now, I want today to place alongside of that slogan, think global, act local, the other side of the coin, and that is to think local and act global. And I do that because the truth is that if we lose either side of that equation, we're in danger of going astray. They belong together. It's not that we are just to think of the global implications and then act locally, but that even when we act locally and are planning locally and thinking about our local circumstances, it is still for the purpose of the faith being shared in the world globally. We must think and act both globally and locally. And it's not a one-time decision, you see. It is that we may be enabled by the leading of God to keep these challenges ever present with us when we think about the faith and when we consider living out the faith and when we as a congregation, for instance, plan how we will live out the faith in this place. It becomes essential that we never lose either dimension of this and that we somehow keep both the local and the global together. And this then becomes the pattern for what we do together, collectively in community, and how we live and think about the faith we profess in the context of our individual lives and households. So today I want to focus in a bit on thinking locally, but yet acting in such a way that the global is not neglected and that the whole world is impacted by what we do. Actually, you see, nothing that we ever do is just local. It's not always instantly global, but nothing that we do is just in a narrow little place next to us. In fact, everything that we do or don't do, say or don't say, represents Christianity to the world. We may not think of it in those terms, but many people have garnered their impressions of what the Christian faith is all about simply by observing those who profess to be Christians who live in their midst. And so, what we do or don't do has an impact upon the vision of Christianity that we share with the world. Now today, in our world, the local and the global are more tightly linked together than ever before. It's been, in fact, a change within our own generation. And it didn't just begin in our time, but it has progressed rapidly in these days. Think about it now. We can follow world events in real time. A couple of generations ago, you waited for the news to arrive. And perhaps it took weeks, or maybe it never got there at all. But now, in so many facets of life, we're aware of what's happening on the other side of the world, even as it happens, or very shortly thereafter. Now, that provides a challenge for us. Because so often when we hear news from the world, we aren't sure what we should do about it. Because we feel very distant and we feel uncertain about how anything that we might choose to do could really be very significant. So sometimes we watch the global scene and not knowing what to do, we just watch. Without allowing it to penetrate into our vision for life and our vision for the Christian faith. On the other hand, we can be so absorbed with what's going on right around us, perhaps as a means of retreat from the responsibility for the world, that we forget that the world exists. And within the Christian faith, it's not an option for us to choose either side of that, because they belong together. We're called as individuals, but we are called to share in a vision which is global in its intentions and dynamic. Now, I want to leave you to think about that, but I'll give you some examples that you might ponder. Sometimes we get thinking local about the local church, the local congregation, or the church in our community. And there is, you know, in our time, a potential for either being self-satisfied or self-absorbed. Because in the reality of things, in visible terms, many local congregations aren't doing so well. And that sometimes drives them to think more and more internally. And while there are local things that they may need to do, they can't afford ever to lose a wider global vision. On the other hand, if a congregation is getting along really well, it's a great hazard to feel kind of self-satisfied with that. And the implication of that also is that we focus on the local rather than the potential that that may give us to address the wider implications of the faith that we profess. Another example. When we come together, we offer prayer. Those prayers are often for local concerns, local individuals. Oh yes, we pray for the wider picture in the world, but we're much more specific when it comes to the local. And on one level, as long as we keep them both together, that's not a terrible hazard, but it is a certain danger attached, has a certain danger attached to it. But, you know, prayer really leads us to think of the bigger picture. When we pray for someone who's going through a time of sorrow or struggle or health issue, yes, we pray for them, but we also think about the fact that their life and their care is tied into something much bigger. And so we not only pray for the healing of an individual, but we pray for those who are providing a medical care for them. We pray for those who are doing research that may change how their needs may be met. And when we pray for those who have material needs, we're surely reminded of the fact that our world is teeming with people who daily suffer anxiety about how they will simply survive. Another thing, we, like most congregations, are linked with some world mission of the church. In our case, it often is through the work of Presbyterian Sharing or Presbyterian World Service and Development, whereby we pool resources with other people in addressing needs within our own land or in distant places. And this gives us an avenue of addressing concerns in the world that we could not really, in any effective way, address as individuals on our own. Whatever the channel through which we do that, we do it communally, together. Now, we can't listen to the news without being conscious of people in other places. Could you listen to the news this week and not think about people in the Bahamas? Now, that's not a part of the world which is perhaps economically challenged, but it is a place which is under immediate challenge at the moment because of the devastation. And of course, that same storm is, as we are here, impacting life in Eastern Canada. And, you know, we, in this, these type of situations and others in the world, have an opportunity to respond. We need to remind ourselves sometimes that in comparison to most of the world's population, we're astoundingly rich. You know, we, compared to, I'm not now thinking of the immediate recent storm victims, but the world in general, we are incredibly rich. Resources that we wouldn't think anything about. Pocket change would be seen as a week or maybe even a month's sustenance somewhere else. And I'm not mentioning this to make you feel guilty about what we do, but rather to encourage us to respond to the needs of the world when we can and aspire to do so, not just with our monetary resources, which have the potential to make a huge impact, but that we respond also with our hearts. That we're not, if you will, giving to poor people. We are sharing with fellow human beings. And when we do these things, we act locally for a global impact. And in fact, you know, every step that we take to represent ourselves outside the walls of this building is a step in the direction of acting locally with global implications. I mean, even on the simple level, I started the service with an announcement about the worship service at the Ancaster Fair. Well, that's local. But it's less local than most of our activities, in the sense that in such a service we gather with other believers from the community and we offer praise together. And these people may not be strangers to us, and I wouldn't define Carluke as global, but they represent, you see, our identification with the wider Christian community and help us to see that opportunity and that need for it to be part of who we are and how we represent ourselves in the world. And part of our challenge is to equip ourselves to think of the global implications of our faith. Jesus did this very effectively. Did you hear that little description in Luke 10? Jesus had plans to visit a number of communities. And what did he do? He recruited a wider number, a bigger number, to go out in advance and pave the way, to let the world know he was coming, and in a very small way perhaps, but to fulfill the very role that John the Baptist had fulfilled with respect to the ministry of Jesus Christ, to invite people to lift their heads up and look, because something was happening in their midst that they needed to hear about. And Jesus spoke about the challenge of finding people to go out and share in the harvest. And Paul, who was in the midst of A missionary endeavor such as the Christian faith has not even seen since in its scope and speed. And he talked about the need for people to hear and the challenge for them to respond. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they're sent? And so it's not just an individual thing, but a communal thing. If you read Acts, you know, Paul didn't just decide by himself that he was going to go off on a mission. He went with the commission of the church in Antioch, with their blessing, with their prayers, sustained by their support. And so the local becomes global. Now, just to wrap this up, I mentioned last week a little takeout shop in my community that has a sign that says, "The best wings in the galaxy." I'm actually talking myself into going and sampling them because I've never been inside the place. I've just read their sign. But if they, with a sense of humor about their promotion, I'm sure, can even talk in terms of such a vision, how could we, who are in possession of the good news of the one who is the light of the world and the way, the truth, and the life, how could we not be as eager to share what we have in word and in action with the whole world? Now, don't come next Sunday expecting a sign on the front of the church in some cute way saying, you know, "We're global bound." But think about it. This vision is who we are. And if we lose it or neglect it, then we become something less than God intends us to be. And so let us strive together to hold on to both a local and a global perspective for the glory of God's name involves both. This is good news. Take it with you when you leave. Thanks be to God. Amen.